Just kind of prayed about it for a little while and just felt like the Lord first led me to just the topic of trusting in Him. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, what do I do with this? Are there scriptures, passage? And so pulling out a couple different scriptures, but the main portion of this is going to be Genesis 22, 1 through 14, which is Abraham and Isaac. So we'll probably start off reading the full 14 verses and then kind of go through verse by verse. So if y'all want to turn to Genesis 22, 1 through 14. So it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire on his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where... Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And so... Again, the Lord just kind of put on my heart the topic of trusting in Him, and just I feel like really brought this passage to me. And one thing I do want to say with this and teaching this is, I feel like the Lord put this on my heart because it's something that He's, actively teaching me. It's not something that I'm going to sit here and say, here's how you trust in the Lord, here's how I did it, here's how you should do it. Now, there are, instances I do want to bring out as testimonies to hopefully encourage y'all a little later on, of times where, the Lord has brought something before me, gave me the strength to trust in Him, and, He really provided. And so, just going back to verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am." And one of the things that I just want to bring out on this verse is it where it says God, tested Abraham, and at times, we can be tested in our lives. But, one thing I want to bring out with this is every test that we come, to, it's not necessarily the Lord testing us. And, we're down to examples of we can test ourselves. And this is in James 1, 13 through 14, when it says, "When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, when he is dragged and enticed." And so, not every trial or circumstance, that we come to, can we say, oh, this is God testing me. And then also, I'm not going to read it, but in Job, we know when the devil tempts Job. And then lastly, as we see here, that God does do the testing. And so, looking at verse 2, "Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." One of the things, I've read this passage many times, and one of the things I've never really seen here is it says, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love." And then later also in one of the verses around like 12 or 13, 14, whatever it may be, when it says your only son. And this was interesting because we see that like in, I think it's Genesis 21, when it's Ishmael and, basically sends them out to the wilderness, and it's saying that like God is saying, this is your only son as far as he's concerned now. And it's just an interesting point that I wanted to bring out that I hadn't seen there before. But One thing too with this is how it's his only son, and we know the promise that God had given Abraham with this son, and how dear this son was, you know, to Abraham, and that the Lord can test us with things that are near, you know, to our hearts, and whether this is people, you know, whether it's our wife, or we don't have kids yet, but it could be your kids, it could be family members, whoever it may be, materialistic things the Lord may test us with, having to trust in him, whether it may be hobbies. One thing, too, is how it's, you know, offering your son as a burnt offering, and it seemed kind of strange here that, you know, it's like, Lord, you promised me this, and now you're the son, and now you're wanting me to offer him as a sacrifice. It seems kind of contradictory, but it's like one thing, you know, the Lord really showed me with this is it's like a lot of times the Lord can promise us something, in this case, the son, and we just rely so much on the promise instead of continuing to trust in the promiser and God for who he is. So looking at verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood and the burnt offering and arose and went to the place that God had told him. One thing that really encouraged me here, and again with just the Lord testing Abraham with something that was so, you know, dear to his heart, is we don't see Abraham in any of these passages, you know, God, why are you doing this? You know, hesitating, like questioning the Lord. And we can, you know, when things come up in our lives, we can question the Lord with the right attitude, with the right heart. Like, Lord, you know, why are you allowing this to happen, you know, to my spouse? Or why are you allowing this or that? But here we don't see anything about Abraham's, you know, emotions, with what he felt, questioning the Lord. It was just the Lord, you know, go offer up your son. Abraham rose early in the morning. And I just felt like that was something, you know, we could really ask the Lord to help us with in our lives, of like one, whether it's a small circumstance, a big circumstance that we encounter, or the Lord brings to, not necessarily just questioning the Lord with an attitude or, you know, complaining. Abraham's obedience showed that he trusted God even when he did not understand. And sometimes we say, I'm not going to obey or believe until I understand it all. And I know for me, a lot of times the Lord may show me to do something or bring a door, whether I need to go left or right, and it's like, I want to understand it all. Like, Lord, I'm not going to take this step of faith. I'm not going to begin to rise early, collect the wood, you know, the donkey, and go do these things until you show me why I'm doing this. And that's not the right heart that we're supposed to have here. So. Looking at, going to go to verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back. And so the first part that I want to bring out about this is how he says, I will go yonder and worship. And actually, in one of our discipleship things, I was reading this verse, and this kind of was brought out to me of how he says, I want to go worship. And it's like, when I think of the word worship, it's like, okay, we're going to go in church today. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to worship the Lord for who he is. If the Lord tells me to go sacrifice, you know, the son that he promised me, I don't think I'm going to say, I'm going to go worship, you know, the Lord. And this is actually the first time the word worship is used in the Bible. And I don't know how to pronounce it, the Greek word. I'm not even going to try to say it. But essentially, it just means to bow down for the Lord. And just want to encourage y'all with, like, what can worship mean in our lives outside of the sanctuary, the setting, or the Bible study setting, or the Sunday school setting. And just some of the examples that I want to bring out is, like, for example, we like to watch movies and Netflix shows at the end of the day. Maybe the Lord puts on your heart, you know, I want you to spend time with me in prayer and the Word tonight instead of, you know, watching these things. And, you know, we may have that too. Oh, okay, Lord, I'll go do it. And we may be obedient even if we don't feel like it out of faith. And, Lord, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to honor you. But it's like, do we see it as a form of worshiping, you know, the Lord? And in this case, again, as Abraham, you know, offer up your son, you know, the lad and I are going to go yonder and go worship. And it just really pricked my heart with some of the things that aren't convenient to me that I don't want to do. Losing sleep to wake up early to spend time in the Word. It's not necessarily convenient. It's not things we all want to do. But the Lord sees that as a form of worship and doing, you know, and out of faith. And then, you know, just lastly, for example here, giving up free time to help someone, you know, in need, or go love on someone. Or the Lord's kind of pricked my heart recently about, like, just reaching out to family members, whether it's grandparents. And I get so comfortable with, oh, I have a free day, because, you know, how busy we all can be. But just, you know, really asking the Lord, you know, if you're showing me to go spend time with someone in need, like, let me do this as a form of worship to you in the right heart. And then the second point I want to bring out with verse 5 is He's never actually really saw this before, but it says, and we will come back to you, when he's saying to the young men that, you know, stay here, the lad and I will go worship, and we will come back to you. And it was, I don't believe Abraham had this attitude of, I know the Lord's not going to make me sacrifice my son, so we'll come back. But he believed that they would both come back, whether, you know, he followed through with the sacrifice and the Lord brought him back. But he knew that the Lord had promised him the son and that he would carry out, you know, that promise and have the generations come up through him. And so it was just that confidence in the faith of the Lord and trusting in him of like, Lord, I'm going to do this in full obedience, but I know you're going to work it out for good. And skipping down to verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And it's just one thing that the Lord kind of pricked my heart about when reading the scripture is, are there things in our lives, you know, that we're withholding from God? And it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be bad things. But like, again, going back to what I was mentioning before, it may be our free time. It may be, it could be whatever, you know, in each of our lives, different things. But just, are we holding things back from the Lord when he shows us something? And then one thing here too, with in verse 3, as Abraham, you know, rose earlier, and there was no hesitation of like, I feel like even hesitation at times, like the Lord may show me something to do, and then going, I have to understand that also it's, you know, do this, give this person money, go do this. And it's, there's that hesitation, and I feel like that's a form of disobedience, because we're not trusting the Lord. And so, Lord, you said to do this, so I'm going to go do it. But it's, you know, Lord, you said to do this. Okay, let me try to figure out what's going on here, and then I'll go do it when it makes sense to me. And you know, we're not supposed
like
to
sometimes hard. Mm-hmm. Or you think like, you know, you can see everything more than I can, and it's like so convicting, like it just aches my heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And the last verse I'm going to pull out from this is verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And what I just love about this is like in verse 8, Abraham, you know, when Isaac asks, says like, the Lord will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. And we see that the Lord did provide. And it's like, no matter what circumstances we may be in, whether it's financial, whether it's a relationship circumstance, whatever it may be, it's like we know that, you know, the Lord will provide all of our needs. And so that was the last bit of going to bring out about the section here with Abraham, Isaac, but just have some other couple examples I want to bring out, and then some testimonies and things in my life. And I've been reading lately through the story of the children of Israel, and I've always loved reading through this, whether it's in a study or just going through the Bible, whatever it may be, is seeing how all the different things that the Lord did in their lives. And then it was so, I always grew up saying like, how could they do that? How could they do that? How could they do that? And it's just like looking at examples in my life where the Lord provides, the Lord provides, the Lord provides. Next challenge. What am I going to do? Complaining, murmuring, the same things that they did. And so we all know that, you know, the Israelites fled from Pharaoh and from the Egyptians in Exodus 14. And then we see that, you know, the Red Sea is split when there's no way out. Jesus provides water through the rock when there's, you know, no water. There's a cloud over their head by day and fire by night. And then also when they're tired, you know, of eating manna, and the Lord provides quail. And through this whole time, we see through these different instances of the attitude of the children of Israel, and they're complaining and they're murmuring through all this. And to me, what that shows is not trusting in God. And there's times in our own lives whenever we come to a crossroads, whether it's circumstances, whether it's a decision, whether we lose our job, whatever it may be, and first things we want to do is start to complain. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Again, you know, not in the right heart, but just the complaining and the murmuring and these different things. And again, like I said, I personally have always wanted to say, how would they do this? But then looking back at times in my life, seeing that, you know, I do that as well. And, you know, we serve the same God that led the children of Israel through all of these things. And we say, you know, oh, that's great. Of course we do. Like, amen, same God. He's faithful, all these things. But then if you were to look at snapshots of our life, does our attitude to the lost people around us show, you know, these people truly believe that they serve the God, you know, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or do we have that same attitude when the Lord shows himself faithful over and over again, and we don't, you know, trust him without hesitation and wholeheartedly? And, you know, Philippians 2 says that we are to do all things without complaining and disputing. And, you know, when we focus on ourselves, I think it's a lot easier to complain instead of trusting in God. And one thing the Lord just kind of showed me through this is Paul, like when he's writing, you know, the different letters and when he's in prison in some of these instances, how is he able to sit in a prison cell for something that he shouldn't be there for and be so content while encouraging others, you know, at the same time? And I think a lot of this is the mindset of Paul, you know, as he says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I say that to say, like, how are we living our lives? Because as Americans, it's so easy to get comfortable in our routines of, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to spend a little time in the Word, now I'm going to go, you know, work, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to go play volleyball, I'm going to play video games, I'm going to watch these things, and then, okay, it's time for the Lord again the next morning. Or is it, you know, for me to live as Christ in every aspect of my life? Am I focused on myself? Am I focused on providing for Bailey? Am I focused on providing, you know, the different needs, or just having fun or satisfying my own desires? Or is it through every step of the day, you know, Lord, what is your will for my life? And am I so focused on you so that when circumstances do come up, it's not, oh no, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? And you begin to complain. Or is it Paul who's in prison here and just said, Lord, you know, for whatever reason you've allowed this, in my joy, I'm grounded in you, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I'm not so focused on myself to where now, based on my circumstances, my faith changes and I see God in a different way based on my circumstances. So one scripture I just want to bring out here is Proverbs 3:5-6, and it's, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And one thing, I was actually having a conversation with Chris yesterday, and I actually mentioned, like, I'm going to be teaching on this, and he's like, yeah, like, that is easy to say, but how do we do it practically? And it's like, I totally agree with that one. It's like, oh, these are, you know, this is great. Like, trust in the Lord. Awesome. How do we do this? And again, I say these things not to say I have it figured out, but I want to bring up some different examples as testimonies, you know, to brag on the Lord, the things that he's done in my life, where he's brought me, where he's brought us, and then just, you know, his goodness. And so first thing, first example and testimony I want to bring up is, when I was in high school, I was homeschooled, and I wanted to go play baseball at a high school. I wanted to go to Walker, even begin to take certain exams, and I had to take like 12 exams. I took a couple, went home to study, and my mom just said, do you really, you know, want to do this? Are you sure about this? And I wasn't sure. I was, you know, you're right. Let me go spend time with the Lord, and just really seeking the Lord of, Lord, what do you have for my life? Because the thing to do at the time was go to Walker, much better baseball team. I wanted to pursue that in college and things. And I'm sitting there praying. I lean up, and there's a mirror in front of me, and it's just a homeschool shirt. And I could not stop smiling. Like, I saw it, and it just, like, overwhelmed with joy. And I was just like, I stood up, walked out of the room, and said, I'm not taking the test. I'm staying homeschooled. And that may seem simple, but out of that, the simple, you know, instance of trusting in the Lord and not just, this is what's pleasing to the flesh, so I'm going to go do this, ended up staying homeschooled, coming to this church because of it, meeting Bailey because of it, my family's here because of it, extended family's here because of it, and just out of one decision of, you know, faith and trusting in the Lord, everything, all the blessings that have come out of it. Another is just like, you know, where do I go to college? And I won't get too much into that, but the Lord just trusting in him and not, this is what looks best, but, you know, the Lord really showing me what to do. And like, another example or testimony would be, I wasn't in a relationship for a couple years before, you know, dating Bailey, and I was really just at a point in my life where it's like, Lord, I don't want to play games. Like, I want the next person I date to be the one that I marry. And I was sitting there driving one day and just praying before the Lord, and it was like March of whatever year we started.
2017.
It was March, April, somewhere along there. And it's just simple things. I'm like, my heart behind is, Lord, I want to do your will. I'm, you know, I don't want to seek after the things of the flesh. It's like, Lord, show me when I'm going to be with the person, be with the person that I'm going to, you know, end up with. December, immediately in my spirit, just December. So leave that there. That's like March, April, 2017, whatever it may be. I don't think of that single instance. Oh yeah, I forget y'all. They were a part of this. I'll actually share that part. I forgot about that. So I don't think about December, like literally from that instance, December in my spirit, peace, like shut it off. December 15th comes and I remember it. I'm like, holy cow. So what happened is they're on a trip on the way to Texas, December 1st. And we haven't never really hung out at this point. And she messages like, hey,
we've DMing me.
We talked a little bit, but it was like they broke down and I ended up going to pick her up December 1st. We hang out again December 4th. And it wasn't until December 15th that I like recall, like not one time in that. So it's not like, oh, December's coming up, Lord, you promised me this. Like, okay, I'm going to make it happen. Like the Lord, you know, trusting in him, putting your desires in him, Lord, and then just the Lord's faithfulness and charm, man.
You didn't make it on the trip, by the way.
We missed Christmas at the silos. Yes. That was sad.
Lord had better plans.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so those are just a couple examples. Like I have many, you know, more of the Lord's just faithfulness and small decisions, whether it's moving to apartment or whatever it may be. But those are just the main ones that I really wanted to, you know, bring out. And the like, for one, where is your heart in your desires of not, Lord, I'm ready to get married, hurry up and bring me someone. And those aren't, you know, bad desires. The Lord gives us desires to have these things, but really just sitting before the Lord, and again, going back, this walker idea looks great. It looks great, appealing to the flesh. It's the thing to do, but Lord, what is your will? And then, you know, he shows me. And it wasn't, I heard the Lord, you know, the skies opened up, but it was just overwhelming joy in the instance with December. Like he told me. And the Lord doesn't always show himself in the same way, but I'm just coming before the Lord in these instances, whether it's hard circumstances and we're being tested as Abraham was tested, or it's just everyday decisions, big or small, and giving your desires over to the Lord and really just sitting before him. And, you know, he is faithful and he's looking for, you know, his children that will trust in him. So, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Yeah, Trent was very sure. I wasn't very sure sometimes. I really struggled a lot with fear, like, before we got married, and even, like, after we got married, just, will I be a good wife, you know, will our marriage fail, and now it's like, will I be a good mother, you know, it's like, I'm a really, like, overthinking person, and, like, just anxiety is, like, my default, you know, so I really have to just bring that to the Lord always, and it can range just from, like, a little, just like, oh yeah, that kind of, I'm a little worried about that, to like a nagging, like intrusive fear that will not leave your mind. You know, I've experienced all of that. So in the scripture that the Lord always just reminds me of is 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful and he will surely do it, because it's not, like, oh, well, we did married, premarital counseling, so our marriage is going to be good, or whatever, Trent has a certain temperament, so our marriage is going to be good. It's that the Lord is faithful, we're not faithful. You know, we do have a responsibility to practice self-control and all those things, but in any area, you know, going to the abortion clinic, whatever, it's not me, because I'm flaky, I'm not, you know, committed. Especially now, like, I've just wanted to lay in bed all day. So it's like, I really have to trust the Lord in every area of my life, you know, and I just recall that scripture. He who calls you is faithful. He doesn't call you to something and then just like watch you trip and fall. You know, he does it through us, you know, and by his grace. So that's just what we lean on every day.
Amen. Yeah, and one thing I forgot I wanted to add with that is, you know, the Lord's not going to show us something, allow us to just trip and fall. Is the Lord, you know, showed me I was supposed to be with Bailey, you know, it says December, and another point in that, you know, journey of the Lord showed me that, to meeting her, to marrying her, is one day I was just sitting there, and Lord, like, you know, when am I supposed to, it went from, you know, who's the person I'm going to be with, to Lord, when am I supposed to marry Bailey? And I'm sitting there driving. I remember exactly where I'm driving, and he just says, September 28th. And this is like months and months before, and I don't know what day that is or anything. And I'm like, and I just, again, that in my spirit, I hear that, not out loud, but just September 28th. And I'm like, I look at my phone, I'm like, it was a Saturday. I just like threw it down. I was like, that's the day I'm getting married. And turns out it was a Saturday, and LSU's only bye week, I think, in like that month. So it was like, Thank you, Jesus. But and like, and with him showing me, like, you know, as Bailey mentioned, like, she had, like, she wasn't so sure throughout the process of this, like, anxiety and fearful of, like, the whole process and things. And I feel like the Lord really just showed me, knowing that in that, that if it's like, Lord, you know, is this really you? If she's having thoughts, do I need to be having thoughts? But with the Lord, you know, December, September 20th, him being so faithful and just showing me, I could stand on that and I didn't have to worry, you know, Lord, is this not you? But him just seeking him, him showing me, and then also from there, I think one thing we can really do is, like, once the Lord shows us something, is standing on that promise. And again, we don't trust just the promise, but, you know, the promiser, but as we see with Abraham and Isaac, he's promised the son. It's like, Lord, we can stand on that, that, you know, whatever, the situation doesn't look good, I'm about to offer him as a burnt sacrifice, but I'm going to do it out of worship in you and trust in you, you know, what you've promised and for who you are. Isaiah, in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And, you know, we're not always promised easy roads and easy times. And I know that's been mentioned multiple times out of the pulpit lately of, like, you know, the Christian life isn't, hey, come be a Christian, life's so easy. But we do know that in this, you know, that we can trust in the Lord, that we serve the same God that we read about in this Bible. And I feel like when we truly apply that and not just, this is an awesome God and he is, but it's really seeing God for who he is in the Word, you know, for what he's done, not only in our lives, but, you know, throughout all of the Bible, and for who he is, you know, no matter what circumstances or trials or things we face, you know, we can trust in him and know, you know, it's in his hands, and we can live in that peace. And it's like, how I've mentioned all these testimonies of the Lord being faithful, it's just like, though I feel like these decisions come up again and again in our lives, but as we see the Lord work more and more, we can, that our faith is built, and we can just know no matter how uncertain times look. And for example, like with Bailey getting pregnant, and we were supposed to, you know, we were waiting till we were waiting till after Africa, and I thought we'd have more time with her working and getting a house, and these times of uncertainty, but knowing, like, we could sit here and stress, what are we going to do? And it's very tempting to do, like, I've already done it a little bit, and just like now, like, I don't have just Bailey to provide for, I have a baby that I need to provide for, and but it's just like, Lord, like, we know this is your will, and we also know that whatever this next step may be, whether we're in an apartment, whether we're living with someone, whether we're at a home, like, we don't have to worry about these, you know, these things. And it seems silly, like, kind of to say, like, oh, like, you're worrying about when you're going to live, you know, you're going to have a roof over our head, but, like, if we're being honest, we worry about these things, like, what are we going to do? And it's so easy to do it in, like, a complaining attitude and stuff as well, but just, you know, trusting in the Lord and honoring him through that. I know we're getting kind of, let's skip a couple of things. I know we're getting kind of late on time. And so one thing I just want to encourage y'all with is, this isn't an all-encompassing list of how you trust in the Lord. You do these things, it's a checkbox, and you're going to trust in the Lord. But just some things to, you know, encourage y'all with. And the first one is, don't depend on you. And it's, and again, that's one of those things. It's like, well, of course, don't depend on myself. But whenever we go back to those instances of the Lord showing us things and trying to step back and hesitate and understand ourselves as, you know, Sarah mentioned, it's just like our intelligence is, you know, we're smarter than God. It's depending on ourselves instead of, Lord, like, I don't know why you're doing this, how you're going to do this, whatever it may be, but not depending on ourselves and allowing God to do it. And secondly is just crying out to God and showing him, you know, Lord, I need you, you know, I'm following after you, like showing our dependence to him and our, you know, our commitment to him. And thirdly is run from evil. And sort of Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. And, you know, this may be separating yourself from bad influences, from bad people, stop watching shows, whatever, you know, whatever it may be. A lot of these things can, you know, drag us down and put thoughts in our head and point us back to depending on ourselves and not trusting, you know, in the Lord. And fourthly is just, and this is one of the, you know, I don't want to order these or say they're in order, one's more important than the other, but, you know, we can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Lord giving us the Holy Spirit in these times of, you know, checking our desire for things, our spirit. You know, how was I looking at that situation with Walker in homeschool? Because I was really young, and looking back, it was all about, I don't think it was something that I was even supposed to debate, but it was just something, a situation that looked cool. It was the thing to do, and I stepped out in my flesh and began to walk in that. And that's when the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, just checked me. And, you know, is this something you're supposed to be doing? And, you know, him gently showing me, like, you know, it's not. And, you know, he'll do that. Sometimes we walk through a door that he doesn't even want us going through. And then if we allow him, you know, he'll shut that door and open up other ones. But, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to do that. And lastly is just resting in God's love. And, you know, as we've talked about, whether it's challenges, whether it's circumstances, decisions, big or small, whatever it may be, of just knowing who God is and seeing him for who he is, not, Lord, you were great when we were on that mountaintop, but now we're in that valley. Now we're tired of manna. You know, now we need water. Now we're at this Red Sea and there's no way out. So you're not the God I want to serve anymore. You know, I'm going to go build this calf because we don't know what happened, you know, to Moses on that mountain. It's just, we see so many times in the children of Israel, their view of God and his love and who he is based on their current circumstances. And we can tend to do that so often, mm-hmm. whether, you know, again, it's the decision, it's a circumstance, whatever it may be. And so just resting in God's love. And so that's all. I don't know if you have anything.
Amen.
Dad? I just like to say real quick, like, think about the people in your life, like, that you trust the most, and it's the people you know. Or don't trust because you know them. And it's like, the Lord, I was struggling with a certain thing in life at one point. Anyway, it was like, the Lord just gently reminded me, like, you don't trust me because you don't know me. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you just get to know the Lord, like, how much easier that trust in the Lord will be. Mm-hmm. Not that we will ever be perfect in it, but it's like, I trust Patrick because I know him. I know his character. I know him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you trust certain people with certain things because you know them. You wouldn't trust someone to babysit your kids if you did not know them. You know what I mean? Or someone to do a job at your house because you don't know them. And it's like the same with the Lord. It's like, if we don't know the Lord and we're not spending time in his word and getting to know who he is, when he says, trust me in this, it's going to be very difficult because I haven't spent the time to get to know him. It was a time in my life where, you know, he gently rebuked me. And anyway, it's just, I've never been the same since, but I'm still not perfect in it, but it's just the simplicity of just getting to know Jesus, just getting to know who he is. And
Amen.
It just makes it easier.
That was actually like when I was like praying that the Lord, like, I actually kind of juggled with that topic a little bit of knowing the Lord for who he is. Because, like, again, like you said, one of the things the Lord's really been showing me a lot is, do I know God because he's like almost like a figure that we read about, like it's in a you know, academia book, or it's like a book we read as a story of, like, that's a great God, like he's an awesome, or just like, Lord, I know you for who you are. And I think the differences in those two are going to come out whenever you're squeezed and you're in a tough circumstance, and it's like, I know the Lord for who he is and I trust in him. So that's good. Let's close this. Thank you, Lord God, for this day and just allowing us to come before you, Lord, and hear.